Jane says.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff joining you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us if you want to call or text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're joining us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. It's Thursday, Greg Bach. That means Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06 for our public cervix announcement. Among the many things we're going to be talking about today, is red wine good for you?
I don't think so.
They always said that red wine had special things in it that made it especially good for your heart.
I'm going to bet, and I'm not a doctor, that those special things you can find in red wine, you can find in other places that aren't
probably
alcohol.
Probably like vegetables.
Yeah.
Oh, fine.
Yep.
So we'll find out about that with Dr. Lierley coming up at 11:06. Then J.R. Radcliffe, the Journal Sentinel sports reporter, will join us. There's going to be a book coming out about former number 12.
Good or bad?
I'm not sure. I just am looking forward to talking to JR if he had a chance to take an early look at the book about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy. Who?
Yeah. That name seems familiar somehow.
The New Yorker?
Just a little. That's coming up at 11:33. We are going to start, though, with taking a little trip down memory lane because I think...
Oh.
I know I have a very short memory.
Yeah.
I do. And I think all of us collectively have a pretty short memory as far as what things were like 4 years ago, say.
Almost to the day.
Almost to the day. And I bring this up because the top three most important Republican, Lee Stefanik,
yeah,
after Donald Trump pretty much wrapped up the nomination after Super Tuesday, Representative Stefanik made these comments on Tuesday night. So, Calvin, let's take a listen to that.
As Ronald Reagan famously asked us, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? The answer for hardworking Americans across the country is a resounding no.
Let's go back in time, shall we?
Should have gotten my TARDIS.
Let's go back in time to the first week of March in 2020.
4 years ago.
4 years ago. Donald Trump said on February 28th, going back a little further, we're ordering a lot of supplies. We're ordering a lot of elements that, frankly, we wouldn't be ordering unless it was something like this. But we're ordering a lot of different elements of medical. March 2nd, you take a solid flu vaccine. You don't think that could have an impact or much of an impact on corona? He was saying this to his top health officials, who all answered no. March 4th, Donald Trump said, and now this is just my hunch, but based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, because a lot of people will have this, and it's very mild. March 4th, Donald Trump, if we have thousands or hundreds of thousands of people get better just by, you know, sitting around and even going to work, some of them go to work, but they get better. March 4th. March 5th, Donald Trump, I never said people that are feeling sick should go to work. March 5th, the United States has, as of now, only 129 cases and 11 deaths. We're working very hard to keep these numbers as low as possible. March 6th, 4 years ago, you have to be calm, it'll go away. Also March 6th, Donald Trump, I like this stuff. I really get it. People are surprised that I understand it. Every one of these doctors said, how do you know so much about this? Maybe I have a natural ability. Maybe I should have done that instead of running for president.
Oh, yes, please.
March 7th, Donald Trump talking about COVID-19, 2020. No, I'm not concerned at all. During a news conference on March 9th, White House officials said the U.S. will have tested 1 million people that week. Thereafter, it would complete 4 million tests per week. Unfortunately, by the end of the week, the CDC had completed 4,000 tests. On March 10th, Donald Trump about COVID-19, just stay calm. It will go away. March 11th, it goes away. It's going away. We want it to go away with very, very few deaths. March 12th, You know, you see what's going on. And so I just wanted that to stop as it pertains to the United States. And that's what we've done. We've stopped it. March 13th of 2020, 4 years ago. And I remember this like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't take responsibility at all.
Yeah.
March 13th, the Atlantic reports less than 14,000 tests have been done in the 10 weeks since the Trump administration was first notified of the virus, even though Mike Pence promised the week prior 1.5 million tests would be available by this time. I think we forget. March 19th, Donald Trump, I intended to always play it down in an interview with Bob Woodward that wasn't made public until September 9th. So Donald Trump admitted to Bob Woodward in an interview that he intentionally played down the severity of the COVID-19 virus as people were dying, as we had refrigerated trucks outside of hospitals in New York. March 24th, Donald Trump, 2020, we've never closed down the country for flu. So you say to yourself, what is this all about? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration. Stephen from Green Bay on the line. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining us.
No, James, this is what I'm going to say to you to start off my phone call. Thank you for reminding me of what I almost forgot about. With that being said, I wanted to bring something to your guys' attention that I attended last night. The Neville Public Museum in Green Bay has an LGBTQ exhibit that shows the history of the LGBTQ history here in Northeast Wisconsin. And there was a little table there with a business that actually does stuff with LGBTQ youth. And I told them about the radio station you guys have, Civic Media.
Yeah.
And I said, you might want to actually talk to them about that because they might be very interested in talking to you about that kind of stuff. And they didn't even know your radio station existed. So now there's two more people in the Northeast Wisconsin area that know that WISS and WGBW exist. So I just want to let you know that that happened last night.
Thank you for being our ambassador in the northeast part of Wisconsin, Stephen. Seriously, we really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And if you ever run into another organization that you think would be a good group for us to talk to or have on the show, have them email us at janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, pretty easy, janesays at civicmedia.us. Patty actually emailed me a couple of days ago with suggestions, so we're going to be talking to the Waukesha chapter of PFLAG.
Excellent.
In the next couple of weeks. So really looking forward to that. Always looking for something in your community you would like us to spotlight.
Exactly.
Very much so. So yeah, Jane says at civicmedia.us. We're taking a little trip down memory lane about what life was like 4 years ago under the Trump administration at the very beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic that was just going to disappear and go away like a miracle. Tom from LA on the line. Good morning, Tom. How you doing?
Good morning, Jane. Good morning, Greg. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's not the corporations, and we must get money out of politics. That's the bottom line on everything, even this upcoming election, how much money we're going to waste on these elections is baffling. I wanted to say that if anyone out there just listens to Donald Trump, his cues are a lot of people have been saying this. So many people are saying this. He always couples what he says with these unknown people. And I wish the media would ask, who are these people? Because he has that tendency to make it where the majority becomes a minority, minority becomes a majority just by him saying, oh, everyone agrees with me. Oh, this agrees with me. So I just want to put that out there for people to look for those cues. Also, I wanted to ask you, do you have a link or something with that, all those different things that you just read off
We can Tom, we'll put a link in the show notes after the show is over. Everything usually gets posted in about an hour. So if you go to civicmedia.us, go to our website, and you should be able to find all the previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And then you click on the episode, and the links will be in there. I pulled this timeline from Lloyd Doggett, a U.S. representative who has the whole timeline, at least of 2020, because then, of course, President Biden took office. But people forget. We just forget what things were like. Dave from Waukesha texting in, putting things in perspective. This feels, thank you, Tom, by the way, for calling, as always. Putting things in perspective from Dave, this feels like a decade ago, not 4 years ago. It's not the age, it's the mileage at this point. We're all going to die about 10 years younger than we think we should have, thanks to a COVID era led by Trump. Going to quickly go pour myself a drink. Well, Dave, you're in Waukesha. Bring one by. We'll take mimosas. We're not anti-mimosa. A Bloody Mary would.
I'll take a Bloody Mary anytime.
Lots of olives. That'd anytime. If you ever want to join us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A little trip down the COVID memory lane.
Yep.
Of where we were 4 years ago.
I love when they say that question. Was your life better 4 years ago? No.
Well, it is. I can get toilet paper when I need
it. Yeah, exactly.
I don't have to worry about wiping down my groceries anymore.
I've watched Parks and Rec an embarrassing amount of times through. So
you can always join us, call or text or leave a comment on the live stream. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gives me and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Jane says. Jane
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. So very happy to have you along. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Surgeon of Sound, Calvin on the board, and you can join us. Call or text 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon has ruined. We were talking about the timeline of the coronavirus, where we were 4 years ago today. I wanted to move on to Tammy Baldwin, going to be at the State of the Union speech tonight, and more details about that. But Derek from Wisconsin is joining us on the line. Good morning, Derek. What did you want to say? Oh, Derek is gone. Okay.
Goodbye, Derek.
Goodbye, Derek. Again, you can always call 855-75-CIVIC. Tammy Baldwin out with her first ad of her re-election campaign. It was released on Tuesday. And Calvin, I believe we have that advertisement right now. Why don't we take a listen?
We forge steel bars that hold up bridges, propel ships, and send rockets into space.
But for years, China's been lowballing their prices,
so it's been tough to compete.
We can't let China steal Wisconsin jobs, so I wrote a law to require American infrastructure projects use American iron and steel.
Tammy Baldwin got President Trump to sign her Made in America bill.
And then she got President Biden to make it permanent.
I'm Tammy Baldwin. I approve this message.
Tammy Baldwin has our back.
New ad from Senator Tammy Baldwin, the first one of her re-election campaign. We've talked about this before, just about all of the money that she's helped bring to Wisconsin. Yeah. Lots of federal dollars. And it's making a difference.
Now, I've worked in campaigns. I've done work in politics. There's some things, though, that are missing, I feel like, from that ad. First of all, lack of lake diving.
There was no frozen lake involved in this.
No frozen. She said Wisconsin too many times, as if she wants us to know she's from the state.
And does work on behalf of people who live in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's just sort of like minutia. People aren't going to get that. Then finally, I saw the ad, and at the end of it, it should have been like, I'm Tammy Baldwin, and I support this axe. Boom! Just really, and then a weird Spider-Man, like, pew, pew, pew.
So at the end of the ad, it should be, I'm Tammy Baldwin, I approve this message, and then she hurls an axe.
Yep, directly.
At a target.
At a target, and that target's like, I don't know, like.
Oh, I can think of a couple.
A Chicago Bears
we won't go there.
Logo, I don't know.
It's just a little contrast. So that was Tammy Baldwin's first ad. This was the first ad from her challenger, Eric Hovde, the guy from California. Let's listen.
About a half-inch layer of ice on the lake. It was hard to break through.
Hmm.
But it's good to get out here for a good cold plunge.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Good cold plunge.
So the Dems and Senator Baldwin keep saying I'm not from Wisconsin.
Hmm.
Which is a complete joke. All right, Senator Baldwin, why don't you get out here in this frozen lake and let's really see who's from Wisconsin. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care.
When that first came out, we did talk about most people in Wisconsin don't do that.
No, we don't.
And I'm still open to any suggestions on other things Eric Hovde should do in his ads that people in Wisconsin actually do. And we had one caller, and I will never forget this, who said he should smash a beer can on his forehead. Now that
and then someone asked the question.
Some legitimacy.
Then someone asked the question, full or empty.
Either, whatever works.
I still like neck deep in a cranberry bog in the middle of winter.
That works, too. We have Tim from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Tim. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I was just listening. You were talking about things Trump was saying about 4 years ago and all this, you know, about COVID.
Yep.
Well, I would like to somehow, I'm not on Twitter or anything, I'd like to get a hold of him somehow and tell him that I'm still waiting for it to go away because I just got over my third bout with COVID and it wasn't real fun. So
no. I'm sorry.
The prediction was wrong.
Yeah, it was supposed to disappear like a miracle, Tim, remember?
It was supposed to go away the spring.
Yeah, in time for Easter.
Yeah.
And wouldn't have that have been an Easter miracle?
He would have taken a responsibility for that.
Oh, for sure. I'm really sorry you had another bout with that, Tim. Are you feeling better now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad. I'm still waiting personally, Tim, because I was told that if I got the COVID vaccine, I was going to become magnetic. And I'm still not magnetic.
Well, I can't get my hands off the steering wheel right now.
Hey, Tim. Tim, I got a question for you really quick before you get out of here. You're from Wisconsin?
Yeah, Eau Claire.
How often do you jump in frozen lakes as a Wisconsinite? Like every day, twice a day?
Once a month?
I've never done it.
There you go. Thank you for perfect answer,
that,
Tim.
That wrapped it up beautifully, Tim. Thank you so much for calling, and thank you so very, very much for listening. Speaking of Senator Baldwin, she will be at the State of the Union address tonight. Her guest is going to be Waukesha Chief of Police Daniel Thompson. The Senator and Chief Thompson are going to highlight their work to fight against the opioid and fentanyl epidemics.
That's fantastic. See, that's what I'm talking about right there. And that's not even Tammy in this. Like, it's Tammy, and Tammy's great. But once again, we talk about it a lot, which is, you know, cops aren't known for supporting Democrats.
Not.
That's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sure there's some liberal cops out there.
Oh, sure.
But on the whole, as an industry, you know, pretty conservative. Tammy Baldwin and the police chief of Waukesha are coming together to talk about something that affects everybody, regardless of your age, your
party.
Color, party, everything. That's the important stuff. And hats off to police chief. The police chief of Waukesha.
Absolutely. Chief Thompson said in a statement, quote, in the battle against the opioid epidemic, it requires leaders and stakeholders to unite and declare enough is enough. I take pride and am humbly honored to represent the brave and dedicated members of Wisconsin law enforcement who tirelessly confront this crisis daily. Joining Senator Baldwin in Washington, D.C. Thursday is our declaration. We are ready. We are determined to be a vital part of the solution. We are committed to saving lives in Waukesha and across Wisconsin. It is about working together.
It's about finding solutions together.
For everyone.
Does anybody know who Ron Johnson's bringing to the State of the Union? An alien, maybe.
My whole thing that I'm going to be watching for tonight, and by the way, you can catch the State of the Union address tonight on most of the civic media radio stations. I'm predicting that Marjorie Taylor Greene will start screaming like a banshee in under 5 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what
You think it'll take longer than 5 minutes?
No, for her to embarrass
herself?
I'm just also thinking about everybody. I mean, because now you have, it's not just her. She's sort of the leader of the pack. But, you know, you still got your
Jim Jordan.
Jim Jordans, your Lauren Boberts.
I don't know. We'll see how Bobo plays it tonight. She's not doing so well. so that will be interesting to watch. All right, we have news coming up next. Stay with us when we return the good, the bad, and an encounter with a moose. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Hooked out in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can call or text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. Just a reminder that the State of the Union address is going to be airing this Thursday night, and our own Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, and Maggie Dawn of the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4 p.m. They are going to be hosting the broadcast of President Biden's State of the Union address. This Thursday starts at 8 o'clock on select civic media stations. Some won't be carrying the State of the Union because they'll be airing the Badgers, but you can always catch the speech on the Civic Media app or at civicmedia.us.
That says a lot about Wisconsin. I am not even the new president. I just Badger game.
That's what I want to do.
Please, Badger game.
Very excited to have our next guest join us. She is the state representative for the 76th Assembly District, Representative Francesca Hong. Good morning, Representative Hong. It's been a long time. Nice to see you again.
Wonderful to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
We wanted to have you on, Representative, to talk about this bipartisan measure about ensuring that Asian American and Pacific Islanders get the same attention in our school curriculums. So I know that it kind of got stalled. First of all, what would the bill do? And then where are we in the process of this bill?
So thanks so much for asking about this very important measure. This bill was originally introduced way back in 2012 and then again in 2017 by my colleague, Representative Katrina Shelton. And what it would do is a very simple measure at first to include Asian Americans in a act that previously included Indian Americans and our Native folks, Black folks, and then Hispanics. That's the language in the bill. So this measure would include Asian Americans as well. And we know that our school boards and students, families, administrators, and teachers have been advocating with us to pass AB 232. And after a committee hearing, which was historic, we haven't been able to hear this in a public hearing hearing since 2017. Actually, we've never heard it in a public hearing. And then it passed out of committee and onto an executive vote. And then historically, last week or 2 weeks ago, we were able to get a full assembly vote on the bill.
So now it goes to the Senate.
Yes. And in the Senate, it received a public hearing as well and an executive vote of 5-1. And now it heads to hopefully when the Senate meets in a couple weeks this month, we're hoping that it makes the calendar as well.
I'm always curious, Representative Hong, on for something like this that seems like a pretty easy reach, a pretty easy thing to agree on. What are the arguments against something like this?
Well, Jane, I hope you call me Fran. Representative Hong, I reserve for my Republican friends.
Got it.
But I think part of it is that folks view it as an unfunded mandate, even though Asian American history is taught in a couple schools across the state. There's also systemic racism amongst my Republican colleagues who want to fan the flames of culture wars as opposed to recognizing that their communities have been asking for this. And we know that due to gerrymandering, many of my Republican colleagues don't see a need to answer or hold themselves accountable to what their communities are demanding. And also, this is something that would benefit all students, not just Asian Americans. We know that we're living in a diverse global world, and the economy, whether it be jobs or helping students and teachers have better experiences. And when students are able to share with their fellow students about their history, it's something that everyone benefits from, because sharing stories and experiences only enhances our students, our learners, about what they can achieve and understand in their futures.
It's very hard to say. Fran. Oh, that's so hard for me to not say the title. But one of the things you spoke about in the thread on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, which we will post, is the amount of people, of my Asians, Pacific Islanders living in this state. You know, I want to believe some folks are good folks, but I'm sure a lot of them think, well, I don't know these individuals. Why do I want my kids learning them? If you said unfunded mandate. And the fact is there's so many living here, third largest population of Hmong people in Wisconsin. And also, if we haven't learned anything in the past few years, there's something to be said that I personally have never experienced, but seeing young kids of color see their history, their culture, whether it be represented in school, on screen, in books, there is a positive force to that. And to me, it seems far greater to do it than to stick by the old ways of saying, well, why? No, just why not?
Exactly. I think specifically for Asian Americans, we have felt invisible. I think we've been seen, especially for East Asians, having an ability to assimilate and feeling sometimes shame around sharing our culture and our experiences. And we're recognizing that this new generation of folks are absolutely prouder to share their stories and their experiences. And I know that having a more multicultural population here in Wisconsin, it's only going to make our schools stronger, our economy stronger, and folks will be able to feel prouder as a Wisconsinite as well, because they feel more free to be able to share their experiences and learn more about their history.
If you're just joining us, Representative Francesca Hong is our guest, and we're talking about Assembly Bill 232, the Asian American and Hmong Education Bill, which did pass unanimously in the Assembly. Now it moves on over to the Senate. Hopefully this will get passed before they go on vacation in the next couple of weeks. And like you said too, Fran, knowledge used to be power. Knowledge is power. The more we know, the more it enhances our lives. It enhances everything in our lives.
Yeah.
And there seems to be this whole coalition now where ignorance is better. And less knowledge is better to, I don't know, insulate you from the world. It just is so...
I don't want to be comfy.
It makes no sense to me that why we wouldn't want to learn more about the people that we're living next door to.
I think a lot of it, too, is fear among some of my colleagues, specifically my white colleagues, about, you know, not seeing this as a pie that we can increase or a table that we can share. I think there's this scarcity mindset where they think that their history is going to be diminished or made less important if we include other cultures and other histories. But we know that we need to think about an abundance mindset and recognize that everyone is going to benefit from learning more about our histories that are with people of color. And, you know, it's public schools especially are such a central part of every community, regardless of zip code. And when we make our public schools stronger, we know that our economy can be stronger, our students and our teachers and families are going to feel more seen. And if, especially in a time where even mental health is such a significant issue, I know that folks who are able to share their stories and feel valued and seen in their classrooms and in their communities is only going to benefit everyone.
As you said, being able to see yourself and the history of your own people gives some validity to your existence, right?
Yes, yes. And I think one of the most powerful statements I heard in the many, many testimonies from folks all across the state, from Eau Claire and Green Bay to even Oconomowoc in Madison, Milwaukee, was that education is both a window and a mirror. For folks to be able to see themselves and their textbooks and their stories, you know, again, that's going to make folks stronger and feel like they want to do more and contribute more to their community.
You know, one of the things that we've talked about in the past few months, and that we've given a lot of credit to the legislature, is how many bills do go through with bipartisan support. And I think that's something that you all are not giving your flowers for, is that there are a lot of things that go through with bipartisan support, things that, you know, the most right of right to the left of left, you can all come together and say, no, this is important, this is helpful, and this will benefit the people of Wisconsin. And I just want to say thank you for doing all of that. And that is wonderful to see, because it does mean for us not elected, the things we want to see is our elected officials getting along and coming together, putting their differences aside and finding solutions to the problems.
And it's absolutely a way for us to better understand the differences in our communities, whether rural, urban, or suburban. And I think when I see bills coming out of, you know, the committee on the one where folks talk about hunting and trapping, I'm blanking right now, but it's important for folks, especially those of us in Madison that represent more progressive and, you know, us city folks. We only benefit from better understanding what's going on in rural communities and the real challenges that they face. And we saw that, I think, more than ever in the shared revenue bill, where we knew that towns, cities, and counties have all been desperately needing more funding from the state. And that like things like having volunteers being EMS and firefighters, when we know we need to start paying these folks. And it's been somewhat encouraging, and I'm nauseously optimistic that with either a majority Dem caucus or even a closer, a smaller majority for Republicans, that we're going to come together even more, that we're going to have better and more productive conversations. And I think you'll start seeing more in both caucuses where people have to whip votes because we have to work harder to pass bills. And that's the way it should be. That makes democracy stronger.
Absolutely.
I love nauseously optimistic.
We need that. We need that on a shirt.
Yeah.
That's the energy I hope many people take on. As much as I'm excited about people feeling empowered about votes and the potential for Dems to get the majority. I know that it's still the reality is we need to stay a little bit cautious and maybe even nauseous about the optimism.
But I do think that the fact that we have all these pretty much unsung bipartisan measures that get passed, that leads me to believe that, and we've said this from the beginning, we have a whole lot more in common than we have against each other. And I think the loudest voices, unfortunately, are the ones on the fringe and the ones who want to gunk up the works. And
we want to be loud and right. And that's what we are as Dems and progressives. And by the way, that committee I just remembered is called Sporting Heritage. But we share values and we share a pride of being Wisconsinites, regardless if we're native born or moved here. I think that as Wisconsinites, we want families to be able to thrive. We want our public schools stronger. We want more parks and recreation. And, you know, Wisconsin has so much to offer, and we can absolutely come together more in showing the rest of the country what we can do, even with some of our differences, that we share values.
Representative Francesca Hong is our guest. She will be with us when we return. We're going to talk a little bit about food. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenhoff, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always email us at janesays@civicmedia.us. If you have a guest or a topic, something else you'd like to suggest, just shoot an email off to janesays, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us, and send all your complaints to Calvin. That's just how it works here. We're very excited to have our guest. Representative Francesca Hong is here, and we're talking about Assembly Bill 232, the Asian American and Hmong Education Bill that has passed unanimously in the Assembly. Now it is moving over to the Senate. Looks hopeful that this will get passed after what being introduced 20-some years ago. We get there, I guess, eventually. But I was thinking off the air, Fran, thank God for our immigrants, because if we didn't have immigrants in this country, our food would be terrible. Our food would be awful. It would be hot dishes and nothing else. It would be noodles and cream of mushroom soup and hamburger forever.
Send all angry emails to Jane Says.
Hot dish. No shade for hot dish. I used to make some of the most epic hot dishes for staff meal back when I was working as an exec. I think that there's so much you can do with hot dish, and my favorite was crumbling Fritos on top.
Ooh.
Oh my God.
Tough to go wrong with that. I didn't mean to insult hot dishes.
I feel like you did.
Born and I just think otherwise we would. What would life be without pot stickers?
Right.
Oh my gosh. There's dumplings everywhere. Every country has a version of a dumpling. I think my actually Korean dumplings don't meet the top five, but you know, it's in Wisconsin too. I think some of the best food is this integration of, and the fusion, I hate the word fusion, but like the melding together of flavors that are, yeah, that are, you know, German and Korean. I think the best thing I've made is using taking bratwurst and making sam, which is like a lettuce wrap in Korean cuisine. Mm. Funky miso and red pepper paste sauce. And honestly, sometimes I like that better than other like Korean barbecue meats.
We need like sesame sauerbraten or something. That way
we need to do a show in Madison is what we need to do.
A food show?
Yes.
Well, and Fran, you have a restaurant in Madison.
I did have a restaurant. We recently closed, unfortunately. But, you know, one of the best things about having that restaurant were just all the folks who shared memories and the folks who felt like they were in community and people who felt safe there. And I think that even though we're no longer, I know our restaurant and the people who have been running it and our staff there made a difference.
And I want to finish out with we have a mutual love for food. We have a mutual love for tater tots.
Yes.
And the last time you were on the show, you were very adamant that chefs need to stop screwing with your basic tater tot.
What?
Yes. Yes, I have a lot of thoughts on seeing tater tots just being abused by chefs who want to reinvent it. And the two things I never want to see messed with in a gastropub or by a fancy chef are tater tots and ketchup. Some of the worst things I tasted were like homemade ketchup. And I'm like, Heinz does a great job and Ore-Ida does a great job and we shouldn't mess with it.
Why screw with perfection, right? Why mess
with it? If anything, using like a commercial fryer for tater tots can make them better and crispier. But again, I don't want to see them stacked up. I don't want to see them in different shapes other than the OG cylinder. I want tater tots and ketchup in their purest form.
Fran Hong, tot purist.
So you don't want to see a deconstruction of the tot?
No lavender infused tater tots?
Oh my gosh, no. And I think, there are some like reinventions and deconstructions that shouldn't ever make a menu item or a special. And I'm sticking with being a purist for tater tots and ketchup.
I would think most Wisconsinites could respect that.
It should not be
a controversial take.
No, and if anything, I'm okay with tater tots going on hot dish. Like, I think my favorite hot dish are just hot dogs and tater tots. I shouldn't say just, but like that should, like those being the primary flavors. And that to me, again, like if it's not crumbled Fritos, I'm okay with some crispy tots on a hot dog hot dish.
What are your thoughts on tachos?
What is that?
It's nachos, but instead of chips, you have tots. So all of the all the nacho ingredients on top of tots.
Well, I'm okay with that because it still keeps the tot in its original form. And then to add toppings to that, that seems reasonable.
Francesca Hong respects the tot.
Pretty strong opinions from Representative Hong.
This is gonna all this information is gonna be taken into an ad where somehow
Francesca Hong hates potatoes. I don't know. They're gonna come at you with something.
She doesn't.
I mean,
like
if
ketchup.
Anything, I hope that Wisconsinites who are ginseng farmers or working in cranberries, working in cranberry farms, that they appreciate that I'm not about Idaho's famous veg.
Francesca Hong represents the 76th Assembly District. Thank you so very much for joining us, Fran. It was so much fun. And I look forward to talking to you if and when this bipartisan measure actually gets passed, and then we can celebrate that.
I'm so looking forward to coming back. Thank you all so much.
Francesca Hong, our guest, stay with us. We have news and weather all coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk about the March of Dimes, March for Change, happening this weekend in Madison. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. We're coming to you across the vast Civic Media Radio Network.